This just in. Stupidity has taken over the world. Not the normal kind of stupid. The advanced kind. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Intoxication. Euphoria at getting a tax refund, which lasts until you realize it was your money to start with. Intoxication. I love feeling intoxicated.
Intoxication. I love it. Euphoria over getting some of your money back. Oh, man, that's funny. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Big thank you to Dr. Pesta. You can catch the Dr. Duke Show every Thursday night, and all you got to do is hit up Dr. Duke online, given the state of Google, geez Louise, let me make this observation, okay? I come in, one of the headlines is Google censoring even those that don't even violate their terms and conditions, just screwing people left and right that are conservative. And I'm sure you saw this, Uncle Milty, right? It was Google. Google kind of announced that for YouTube also, YouTube mm-hmm. was going to just start taking down anything they randomly wanted to.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like that hasn't been done already.
I mean, come on. Just take a step back for just a moment. If these companies were private, okay, nobody likes getting told what to do, do they? If these companies were private, and this is the first thing I thought about coming into this today, is if they were private, they'd be fighting for their independence. They wouldn't want somebody just to randomly come along and be like, no, you've got to curtail, you've got to violate people, mm-hmm. you've got to use your company to do that. They wouldn't be doing that. But when you're funded by InQtel, the CIA arm of funding. When you're funded by the government itself through arms through the CIA and through certain arms of government, it's amazing how well you kowtow to what they want to have happen very easily. You don't stand up for much because why? You're represented by them. They're calling the shots. They paid and funded it. And it's even more evidence to me. And we've already had the evidence flowing in that who's funded by InQtel, because they don't even care anymore to even put that out there. They don't care. They just think that the CIA suddenly came up with a pot of money and that the CIA can decide as an investment firm what tech companies need their money, okay? As if they're separate from the government and the bidding of the deep state. Well, that's not true, and we all know it, right? So that evidence has already been out there. They've actually admitted. PayPal and Google and Facebook and YouTube, all of these have been funded by the government. So of course they're not fighting this, and they won't, and it'll continue to happen. That's what happens when mm-hmm. your owners are the government. Yeah. And why can't we finally come to that realization in America? I don't know.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
I really do. I think more and more people are waking up to a lot of things. And I'm starting to realize that I have to give credit to the internet for that.
Okay.
No, I mean it's really, if you really want to mm-hmm. learn something, you sure. can learn it.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's easily available.
It might be uncomfortable to learn another side that maybe we hadn't thought of.
Kinda but it like, can be done.
Yeah. Kind of like feminism in the way that we were discussing it the last hour. I'm sure that irked some people out there listening. They don't want to hear that. They only want to hear that one kind of narrative about women in this country, that we were suffering until the women decided we could vote and then we were freed, and how we were freed. And that isn't mm-hmm. that isn't exactly true at all. And so if we could really start to take the emotion out. I'll have Alison Armstrong on the show. She wrote the book on men and women. So interesting. Men aren't simple. They're direct. And I totally agree with that. They're extremely direct and logical, right? Women have more of an emotional response to things. It's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And we have to embrace that. And a lot of women in office right now probably shouldn't be in office. They can't think logically about the Constitution or liberty, and they're all about emotion. Mm-hmm. So they love the government programs that serve, because we women love to be able to give, and we're compassionate, we have empathy, and all of these things that are wonderful traits. But by no means should that equate to, hey, I love socialism. Isn't it awesome? Because that's usually, that seems to be the women that get into office. Although there have been a few along the way that actually were great and should have actually been in office because they understood the Constitution, the job.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to vote based on sexual organs and just the representation of male versus female equality. And somehow that serves our nation, which isn't true, because it would be those that would understand the Constitution. That's how we serve our nation, male or female. But we don't have that representation. And so how we got from censorship to that, I don't know, in the last 5 minutes, but we did. just thanking Dr. Pesta for that, because that was quite an hour. And that stuff just rolls off of him. Like, isn't that amazing? Because he was not prepped and ready for that at all.
Nope.
We just literally just brought that up. And boy, that was an interesting hour.
He's amazing.
It could have gone 2 hours. It really could have.
Oh, easily.
Because there's a lot of really good women and good men out there that know the Constitution. And there's a lot of horrific men and women that don't. And that was the whole point of that hour, was what are we concentrating on here? So, okay. We had a helicopter crash. It's headline news.
Yes.
Now, a helicopter crash in any other part of the country would not have been headline news. I'm sorry, but it wouldn't have been. And one of the reasons it is because they're saying that New York still has PTSD. Now, I can understand how traumatizing being in New York would have been, living there and having 9/11 happen. I get it. I totally get it. But we're 20 years post that now. And I'm still wondering why that gets the coverage it does. I mean, I would think that at this point in time, I mean, if that would have happened in Texas, it wouldn't have been with one death and it crashed. I mean, there are helicopter crashes out there. And I even had one in my community, but that didn't make it headline news. So it is kind of interesting to see what lands on the front pages. Is that because we want it, or is that because the news agencies decide that that's the headline? I don't know. But seems to be that people are always thinking, the first thing they think, if it happens in New York, it's terrorist.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
am I right?
Of course.
Yeah. If it happens anywhere else, it's not. It's just malfunction or pilot error. But if it happens in New York, it's a terrorist. And I understand why people are there. I get it. But it's just, at some point, we've got to move past that a little bit, too, in that thinking. And still remember the victims of 9/11 as we should. Because they certainly woke up that morning and didn't realize that that would be their last day on Earth. And it's sad. And it's just horrific what happened. And we've done whole shows on that as well. So as far as who was responsible, it isn't what you're hearing in the narrative, for sure. A couple of things. We have, California is the first to insure illegals. California is the first to provide health benefits.
For illegals.
Legally for illegals,
which
makes no sense. They're legally providing something for an illegal citizen.
There's an interesting aspect to that bill.
Yes, there is.
Well, they excluded senior citizens. So illegal immigrants who are senior citizens will not be entitled to free medical care in California.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, come to us as long as you're not old.
As long as you're not old, we care about you. We just don't care about you after the age of 60 or 70.
Exactly. Now, how long would it be?
Makes sense.
If we had a national single-payer health care plan, how long would it be before they started behaving that same way towards us, the Americans?
Ooh. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello, Kate.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
I just have a question.
Sure.
If the patriarchs throughout history were righteous, would there ever be a need for suffrage or suffering or any of these things that seem to be knee-jerk reactions to the lack of righteousness from the patriarchs?
Ah, okay. All right. Good question. I have to hand that to you. All right. Thanks for that. We'll ponder that. Interesting. I think that as you see a lack or people saying, you know, that we needed, somehow the suffrage movement came about because we needed more righteousness in representing the country or standing for good or standing for God. That's basically his point. And it doesn't really equate to me. I think they wanted that movement. It was based on voting. It was based on something that they wanted that to become the launch pad for feminism in this country. We tend to vote for a lot of socialism in this country, and we did with women just as much as we did men. So they needed both. But he makes a point. It's a point to ponder. I'm just not sure how I feel about that point, because I'm not sure that women saved the day either. I think that it's a combination of just people not understanding what they're actually representing in representative of liberty, how to maintain it.
I don't get it, because to say that the righteousness of the patriarchy would have involved women sooner if they were righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But because they weren't righteous, they didn't.
Well, he's saying, is it a reaction because people fail. And so they wanted to take that to task, to bring that up to I thought he was kind of saying to save it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I got it different. Okay. I thought he was saying, if the patriarchy had been more righteous, these women movements wouldn't have had to come about, because we would have already included women. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I took what he was saying. And of course, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, again, would be judging something by today's standards.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, here's the caveat. There's a lot of guys out there that aren't good guys. I mean, there are. There's some guys out there that
no
power
question.
Goes to their head, and they're mean, and they're awful, right? They're horrific.
Yep.
And so when I say the things I do about the suffrage movement and where we landed and so forth, and about us not voting our ovaries into office, you know, when I make those comments, it's not because I think all men are wonderful and women aren't. What I'm saying is that case by case situation, based on the person and what they know, we should never be even running to the polls to vote just to exercise a right. We should be voting out of wisdom. We should be voting because we know what we're voting for or against, that we have some education, some wisdom, and some understanding, male or female. When I'm talking about men, I've been treated to some great men in my life. So my experience has been involving super men. Not all women have had that, but that does also means that not all men are bad. So it's a case-by-case basis, and I think that we have to look at this instead of saying, you know, women need this power, or women are, women should have more positions. Well, women that know what they're doing in that said position, yes, but not women across the board. We tend to brush it with a broad stroke when I don't think it ever deserves that. Not all men are bad, not all men are great. But and same with women. But if we don't start taking it apart a little bit and stop doing this whole women, whole men thing, we're not going to get anywhere. What about people with wisdom in certain places and certain times and doing certain things? That's what we should be worried about.
Yes.
Not just women representing or men representing. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Well, back here on the Kate Daly Show, grateful to have you listening. I have Uncle Milty with me and playing a little Yes for you. I liked that band, actually. Here we are, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. So glad to be on the air and glad to have these podcasts available to you. You can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts, as we talk about so many hours of principles and things at stake that we truly need to know more about. And our media, our schools have done such a disservice to us in the way of education. And that's why we like to speak out. This is what the show's all about, is bringing some context to what we're talking about in the headlines and everything else. I mean, that we talk about, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Carter Page admitting he was a CIA asset. How many more CIA assets of well-known names? Well, I'm going to venture to guess that there's many, right?
I would say
so. Yeah, and Mueller issued that FISA, right? He issued that knowing he was a CIA asset. Interesting.
Well, he issued it knowing that he wasn't guilty of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know that'll be a revelation for a lot of people. I think there are many more Rand Paul saying, you know, the deep state defies Trump by not revoking John Brennan's Mr. Communists. And I say that not jokingly at all. He's really a communist. He has been for decades, and not revoking his clearance. Why does he still have clearance? Why are these jokers still in? See, that's the fallout that's not talked about ever after these things explode. That guy has resting, I'll say it nicely, resting mean face like you've never seen before. But that John Brennan, I mean, why does he still have the clearances he has? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Milty, did you catch the last hour of Friday's show?
The last, remind me, what did I talk about? I don't even remember.
Colonel McGregor was
really
good.
Yeah,
no, I didn't get to listen to that yet.
Yeah, he was good, huh? He has a really different take on Syria and a different take on things than the narrative, and that's what I liked about him. Was he's a career military guy, and he says, "What are we doing?" Ron Paul's actually one of his great friends, and he just says, "What are we doing over there?" And I said, "Do more military feel that way than I think?" And he said, "Oh yeah." He said, "More and more military are wondering what in the world we're doing." And isn't that a good sign?
He should talk to President Trump. Have lunch, perhaps.
Yes, that would be great, wouldn't it? I totally agree. Thank you for that. And also, he even talked about the fact that Trump has surrounded himself with these total neocons that really only benefit from war and benefit from us going to war and benefit from those big budgets. And so he was calling that out on Friday's show, and I was really grateful
for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious to anyone who follows what's going on that the president is surrounded by people who do not have the same interest as what the president wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can only imagine how difficult it is to be in that position and not be able to trust your advisors, because then you have to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
And that's just so difficult.
I know.
I wish he would start trusting some of these people, like this, you know, get like Chris Ann Hall, even as his constitutional advisor.
Right,
and if he would get some people like that instead of these Washingtonians that are just
that
criminals
keep lurking around from their think tanks and try to position themselves in positions of government. It would be very difficult to fulfill tens of thousands of positions of people.
Yes.
And you know what a call to reduce government when you have to. I mean, let's go with the common sense aspect of that. It's too big, and it's positions held by too many.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know what everybody's doing. And I'm not leaving Trump of any personal responsibility not personal really, but just presidential responsibility. What I'm saying is, there's just so many people at hand here. There's a lot, so it's frustrating.
Really, the only way I can see to do it is to do away with the bureaucracies in general.
Yeah.
And if there are programs that you think are necessary, then create new legislation that does those things properly.
Yeah, that's true. But look at how many presidents have gone in wanting to abolish the Department of Education, recognized abolishing Commerce Department, all these needless departments that should have never been in power, that don't have the authority to act. And because constitutionally, education was just supposed to be left to the states, not federal. And so look at when they go in, they all want that. And then, of course, it changes. And why does it change? Well, that's a whole nother show. But, you know, it's kind of like the old Reagan shot heard around the globe. You want these things, and all of a sudden they fire a shot at you, and then all of a sudden you get real quiet about it. And what are we up against? What's Trump up against? Who knows?
On
the break, McGregor was telling me all changed in that Trump Tower. Everything changed in that Trump Tower, and that he realized some of the stuff he was up against too. And you know, it's you gotta right when he took office, you gotta give that a little bit of a consideration.
Well, when Rand Paul said, look, I was right there when the president said to take away Brennan's clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how
are they not doing?
How difficult is it to find out who countermanded the president's order?
Yeah. It shouldn't be very difficult.
No, it
right?
shouldn't, but apparently it is.
I know. Boy, isn't that the truth. It is. We have new immigration signed today. We'll probably talk in a little bit more depth on that tomorrow. We have another tourist dead down in the Dominican Republic. What is going on? Because it looks like poisoning. It looks like some kind of poisoning is going on. There's four deaths now, very close together down there. And we also have, so that's cause for concern. We don't know what's going on down there to cause it. The other thing is that caught me off guard too, and we alluded to it just briefly, was the two former Republican, those in office, shot to death just a day apart. That's really strange in Arkansas. And mm-hmm. So, you know, it's funny, not funny because it's just so horrific, but I thought it was peculiar because you don't get used to seeing this a lot, but even on the mainstream stories, people were saying, were they friends with the Clintons? Wow.
Yep.
You know, what an awakening. If you start to recognize how many bodies have fallen around the Clintons and those in Arkansas, people in Arkansas just, you know, winding up dead that had anything to do with anything. I know one of these, it was talked about that they were trying to investigate like a CPS situation, child trafficking. And that's kind of intriguing. Why did those two deaths happen? I mean, a day apart, there's something there that probably needs to be looked at.
Sure.
I just couldn't believe the volume of people. Usually that's one or two. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have been one or two people. Nowadays, we're talking about the fact that people were mentioning it consistently, even on mainstream stories, which surprised me, although I find it very good that people are starting to see patterns and recognize patterns, and they're trying to say what's not being said by the media, which is great. And, hey, are there some ties there? We don't really know yet. But are there some ties there? Was there a reason? But I think it's, if you have enough bodies around somebody to even insinuate or even make the claim that, hey, something's wrong with this couple, great. Citizens are waking up, and I like that. I really do. I think I thought it was like refreshingly strange. You know, I didn't expect to see that, but that means that just more and more of us are waking up. And even if it's not, at least people are recognizing. Oh, that was in Arkansas. It could have happened because of that reason, or at least could have. When Seth Rich was murdered, people were going off on that and saying that that was one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were all the people calling them out. No, that was a robbery, even though nothing was taken. It was a robbery. So, you know, I think it's come a little farther. Why do you think they're so insistent right now on censorship? Because more and more people are figuring it out. That's why. And the government wants to put a kibosh on it. And that's why these companies aren't fighting it, because they're funded by the government. And so they have to do the bidding. And voila, we have censorship. And now we can blame it on not the laws in this country. We're blaming it on these private companies, but they're not so private, are they? So it's misplaced. It's actually the government doing it through an entity, which is even more dishonest. Be the corrupt government, censor, but be the government censoring. Don't try to work through companies that we all think are private when they're not.
Yep.
Anyway, drives me nuts. By the way, you can upgrade your memory with a chip. Are you excited about that?
I need to have one removed.
You really can. You can upgrade your memory. This was on Bloomberg. A surgically implanted chip. Are you going to stand in line yet for this one? Yeah, man, they'll do anything to get you implanted. Upgrade your memory, they say. That you can actually improve that. And all you got to do is let us do a little surgery on you. Come on. It's under the skin. Nobody will notice. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I saw that and I just went, oh, huge sigh. You got to be kidding me.
Hey, the Supreme Court today rejected the atheists who were suing to have In God We Trust removed from our currency.
Jeez.
The Supreme Court really rejected the case.
That's interesting. The Democrats actually removed that from all of their oaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah. Right.
But thank goodness they didn't include In Satan We Trust instead.
That's true. I mean, yeah, we got to give them that.
You got to look at the bright side of everything.
Got to give them some cred. Oh, my gosh. How funny. By the way, Market Watch talks about AI catching up on people who cheat on their diets, job searches, and schoolwork. So you can't fake out big data on the game of life. And they're talking about the fact that, man, big data has already evolved into a situation that I don't think we realize that it's out of control already, and that we are in a position, us little people out here, that that they can actually use AI now to detect so many things using all of this data that can actually now resonate in your day-to-day life. And for all the people, even those that I would never agree with politically that are kind of awful, those people in the limelight that were even warning about how AI would transform us, it definitely is transforming us already without us even realizing it. They have all kinds of data now. And I know we've talked about this on the show, but the Drexel University researchers are developing an app that can predict when dieters are likely to lapse on their eating regimen. You know who you are. Based on the time of day, the user's emotions, the temperature of your skin, your heart rate, there won't be much that you can actually bypass or evade anymore. Everything will be subject to, you came to the doctor, now everybody gets your doctor's results, now everyone gets your heart rate, your possible problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very interesting what data is doing.
Kind of like being AI hooked up to a 24/7 lie detector.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? I would rather have people choose to be honest than this. And where AI goes from here is even scarier because of how that will impact our day-to-day life. I mean, we've all seen movies, right, with those premises of what happens with too much AI, but I don't think we really get, as we even talk about it today, how dangerous this is for us. And we welcome it because it's cool. Because it's cool? Data's cool? No, it's not. It's not cool. I miss the days when primarily cash was used. I miss the days when, when we had more privacy. I miss it. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Kate Daly Show here. KateDalyRadio.com. You can email me, Kate@KateDalyRadio.com. Uncle Milty joins me and bringing out the truth in politics. And also a couple of updates. Let's do, I always love updates. The media doesn't tell the truth and they don't update. So we like to do some updates. And so we were talking last week, and I know if you were listening, you remember this conversation we had about Elton John and about the narrative being out there that the producers were being so sacrificing, because they had to do the explicit sex scenes because it had so much to do with his music that they couldn't, that they were sacrificing for you, the citizen, to go and see this movie so that you could see, homosexual scenes up close and personal, very explicit, so that you could understand Elton John. As in, sexual preference means everything. So, and we actually enjoy his music. I just would
love
like to have
music.
Concentrated on the music. But, okay, it's tanking. It is not doing well. In fact, there was a huge article that came out that was talking about the fact that it only did half of what Bohemian Rhapsody did in its first weekend. And Bohemian Rhapsody didn't concentrate so much on Freddie Mercury's sexual preference in bed, but actually did talk about the music of Queen mm-hmm. and how the songs came about, And I thought that was kind of an interesting movie in that way. This movie decided to go the other way and decided to really make it explicit and part of the music. Even though Elton John was married and was writing music and the music he was known for even before he even came out. But that's what they wanted to concentrate on. I just wanted all of you to know that it's been tanking and it hasn't been doing well because American public, I'm glad. I'm actually glad they're not going to see it. If that's what their whole MO is, if that's really what they want to put out in this world, is that your sexual preference makes you and defines you and is you, and that the more explicit they can make it, the better, then great. Don't go see it and don't go spend your money on it.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
The narrative of the movie is basically there's a scene where while he's in rehab, the middle-aged Elton John, played by Taron Egerton, recalls how he went from being a shy boy from Pinner to one of the most popular recording artists in history via a wild, unmoderated journey of drugs, drink, sex, and music. If that's the narrative, you know what? I don't need to learn that.
I don't either.
So the picture only has done $50 million domestically in the 10 days it's been out.
Yeah.
That's pitiful. Yeah,
it is.
And only $100 million worldwide.
Right. And Bohemian Rhapsody, even in its first 2 days, actually doubled the Rocketman movie. So I think people are speaking with their dollars.
And amen.
Maybe they'll make Hollywood reel itself in a little bit from their little bubbleized world of everyone's probably gay and we have to actually put all these movies out for them, because that isn't the truth. Most of America is not gay, so we don't want to see explicit sex scenes in our face, and I don't even want to see heterosexual explicit sex scenes in my face. I mean, if I want to sign up for porn, you know, people go to the movies not thinking they're going to get porn, and I think it's so detrimental and sad.
It is. And for the price of a movie ticket, you can go buy two or three CDs of his music.
There you go.
Well, a much better investment.
Right. Okay, one more update. Let's talk about this. It's an interesting topic.
Yeah, we had there was a story last week about a 17-year-old girl in the Netherlands who was wanting to be euthanized.
Right, right.
Well, somehow in a 24-hour period after that story just blew up all over the world. And the story got changed to that she actually starved to death. She was anorexic and she had starved herself to death. It wasn't euthanasia.
I saw that.
Of course, in the picture of the original article, I noticed she had a feeding tube in. Pretty hard to starve yourself with a feeding tube in, but I guess you could do it.
Right.
Anyway, now an article has come out about the Netherlands and euthanasia. The title of the article said, intellectual takeout is, "The Netherlands Discovers Achilles' Heel of Euthanasia."
They've had it long enough that now they're finding out that it might not be everything they hoped
it
would.
Yes, it's been legal since 2002. In 2010, they had 3,300 reported instances of euthanasia. In 2017, jumped all the way up to 6,585. So it really has doubled. It doubled during that decade. However, even though it's socially acceptable, they do have a procedure and rules about how it has to be reported.
Okay.
Well, a doctor, the Ministry of Justice, interestingly enough, that's who controls euthanasia, the Ministry of Justice in the Netherlands, has prosecuted a euthanasia case, saying that that they've charged the doctor with negligence over the way she administered the fatal injection. Well, because Dutch law requires all doctors to report every fatal injection they administer to a committee that oversees this.
Right.
And now this doctor has been charged and being prosecuted for this. Doctors are now not so anxious to get involved in euthanasia. So they're actually having a situation now where doctors are kind of begging out. And so 10% of doctors have said now that they find the reporting process to be time-consuming. 5% said it's burdensome.
You know, it's too bad that they're not finding that maybe we shouldn't be playing God. Not that this is cumbersome, but I mean, you could see this coming. This isn't. They put this out there as this will be so freeing and wonderful for this nation of the Netherlands, and it's not. It's not. It comes wrought with problems and issues and more issues and. It isn't what it seemed to be to them.
I find it interesting that instead of realizing that killing people is wrong, what they're realizing is that they want it made easier.
Exactly, yeah.
They want it to be easier to do.
Just let us play God.
Yeah,
good. Just
leave
us alone.
We can do it without supervision. Yeah. Don't worry.
That's why I said it's not about playing God. It's about being cumbersome. This isn't... It's about the wrong issue, and it's unfortunate that we're not pointing that out more as a people around the globe, that, hey, maybe it's not okay to do this ethically, that maybe, you know, there's some problems here, like the lady that was held down by her children as they murdered her, and it was called euthanasia. There's all kinds of problems. This isn't okay.
But even with the problems, The demand for euthanasia is still high in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Pleiter, the director of the clinic that administers euthanasia, mm-hmm. believes that death by fatal injection will increase significantly in the future. He told Dutch media, an enormous group of people is on its way, the baby boomers.
Right.
They all have definite opinions about the end of life.
Hmm.
See, he thinks the baby boomers are going to line up to be euthanized, I guess.
Ah, so frustrating. It is. It's frustrating.
Very.
And we've covered those kinds of stories now for a while as they really did try to introduce that and make sure that this was A-okay with everybody. And then again, it's the value of life. It really goes back to the value of life.
Of course.
I just don't want to play God. I know. That sounds crazy, right? Crazy talk. But I don't think we should be. I really don't.
You know, I've been close to death. Mm-hmm. I've been in pain. I've been through these things. And I wanted to die.
Yeah.
I mean, I prayed to die. Mm-hmm. But I never thought about killing myself.
Yeah.
I just, no way.
Right. Right.
And today, I'm so glad I didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, my gosh. And when you hand over control to people to make that decision for you, too. Remember with Obamacare, that's what kept coming up again and again was this kind of an ode to, geez, can we do away with you when you get to a certain point? Because you don't want to live anyway, right? I mean, it was that kind of manipulation. And we talked about it then, and I don't think people could understand how far that could actually go. So, by the way, are you going to take advantage of this trip to space?
No.
Gee, why not? I can't imagine. It's just so crazy to me. We were talking about this over the weekend, and it's just insane. $35,000 for this and, you know, $50,000 for that and getting up there and spending it. It's so ridiculous to me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you have to have an awful lot of money to waste
mm-hmm. yeah.
to do something like that.
I know. It's give me a break. By the way, I just wanted to mention as we're getting closer to the close of the show. Trump said you can't fly rainbow flags at the U.S. Embassy. Yeah.
Here's another case
we
were talking about earlier.
Sense. Yeah. Jeez. I can't believe we actually have to come out and say that. I really can't. That this is where we're at in our society.
Well, the bad part is they're flying them anyway.
What if the flag said sexual preference? Would that make a difference? Like... like the flags actually said those words on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a free lunch over the summer for schools. If it said taxpayer funded lunch, I mean, if we started really calling stuff out for what it is, maybe we could have some truth in advertising finally.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do is do away with the word free.
Yes, I know. taxpayer-funded lunch or sexual, sexual identity or sexual preference flag. I mean, I would just really love for things to be called out finally. I'm tired of this. I can't even believe we have to actually mm-hmm. say, oh, hey, that's not actually a flag of a country. It's not actually... That is a flag for sexual preference.
That's
so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is.
It's extremely ridiculous.
Yeah. Man, there's some stuff I have to shelve for tomorrow because we won't be able to get to it today. Bakery, the business getting sued a third time now in Colorado, the cake maker, remember that huge controversy? And, of course, you know, the cake maker's rights are not as important or valid as the two people that wanted to sue him for not making the cake for the gay wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so a third time now, it never ends. And there's all kinds of things we'll probably go over tomorrow with that. And also we'll talk about immigration just a little bit more. There was a great article about the Hungary border and how it was working because they got a little more strict. And then people, geez, you know, kind of went through then the legal or looked at the legal rights or maybe, you know, didn't just kind of trod through the gate disrespectfully to another country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how it's actually working. Yes.
It's working.
They actually paid volunteers to go after it, which I thought was kind of funny, really. I mean, it's you're paying citizens to go out and turn people in. It was very, very interesting. So we could talk about that tomorrow, too. Also, do you have an Illinois exit plan there in Illinois? That was an interesting one, too. And a lot of people are saying, hey, we're fed up with politics and we need an exit plan here. as our states, the representation in some of our states is just going haywire. And I agree. It is. And do you? And where do you go?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few states that you need an exit plan from.
No, it's very true. And so Texas actually was one state that was kind of standing up to stuff and saying, talking about free speech and kind of reining it in a little bit on a couple of items we'll talk about tomorrow. We'll talk about Texas and what they're doing. But where do you go? Do you go to Texas? I mean, quite honestly, it's hard to know where to go because I live in a conservative state. But I'll tell you something. My state is becoming so blue. It's the elephant in the room and nobody wants to talk about it. Well, there's something there to be talked about. Am I right? Because if your state represents as red, but it's actually going very blue, are there states that you can still go to that are steeped in some common sense or some understanding of the Constitution? There's just not too many places to go anymore. And once we don't have those particular cities or counties or states, then what? Then what?
Yeah.
We're out. We're out.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Yeah, we're already in trouble because it's so few and far between and there's hardly anything left that even seeks to understand. But we'll talk about what Abbott did for Texas and we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show as well. Immigration and also Bilderberg. What happened after Bilderberg now that it's over? So we'll talk about that a little bit too. There was a great piece on that as well, kind of explaining some connections and what are the plans? So we have to go there, of course. But gosh, there's always so much to talk about. And sometimes the show just kind of goes in a direction where we weren't expecting. And I always actually love that the best, because I think even off the cuff sometimes, just to be able to talk about something and say what's truthful about it is just so refreshing. And I'll take it.
Well, there's something about being off the cuff that brings out the truthfulness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Well, I appreciate you listening in, and the podcast will be up for sharing. 888-673-1450 is the call number. So if you want to get that dialed in on your phone for tomorrow, we'd love to hear from you. You can go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast. Be faithful, be fearless, and we'll see you here tomorrow. Balance.